going to begin in chapter 12 tonight. Appreciate Brother Mike filling in for me the other night, a couple weeks ago. Hello. One, two. When I was gone, thank the Lord for that. Hello. One, two.
There you go. Amen. And so tonight, what might be down just right then. We'll start chapter 12, and we're going to move quickly through this chapter tonight, because in chapter 13 begins the story of one of the most famous characters in the Bible. I know you're going to love something about this guy, Samson, and one of the most unusual characters ever. And we'll hear him in chapter 13, 14, 15, and then we're going to come down. We're already done 19, and so we'll be finishing this here in just a few weeks. But Brother Mike talked about that as one of the hardest stories in the Bible, that vow Jephthah made about his daughter and how he had killed his daughter. And I want to say he did not have to do that. And that's covered in Leviticus 5 and verse 5, where that if somebody made a vow unknowingly or ignorantly, they can bring an offering to the priest and be forgiven for it. That's a wicked or wrong vow. Like if you was a Masonic lodge, they make all kinds of vows. And when you ask forgiveness of that, that's covered. And but when you make a right vow, and it's to God, then you've got to keep it. So that's why the Bible says you better not to vow than to vow and break it. So anyway, that being said, we'll go right with chapter 12 tonight. And we're going to go through this one quick to get to chapter 13. The men of Ephraim, verse 1, gathered themselves together and went northward and said to Jephthah, now look here, you're going to make him mad here. Why have you passed thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We'll burn your house upon thee with fire, thine house. Now these same crowd did that back yonder before with Gideon. Remember back here a few chapters back, that Ephraim comes to Gideon and said, man, why didn't you call us? We went out there, fought that battle with you. And there's always people showing up like that. There's always people that show up after the work's done, after the battle's fought, and saying, well, if you'd call me, I'd have hit you. Some people are like blitzers. They show up when the work's done. Amen. That's what the tribe of Ephraim was here. And the last time that happened, Gideon pacified them by saying, you're great and you're wonderful. And they got fine. But Jephthah ain't in the mood to talk to like that. He just gave up his daughter for battles of the Lord. But he ain't no mood to be talked to like that. Jephthah said, buddy, if mine and my people were a great strife of the children of Ammon, and when I called you, you delivered me not out of her hand. Verse 3, I saw you delivered me not. I put my life in my hand. See that old expression. He took his life in his hand. All that stuff like comes from your King James Bible. Your King James Bible is full of quotes like that people say all the time. Hollywood, law courts, and everything quote the Bible all the time, don't even know it. People that don't even read the Bible quote it every day in America. It controls the thoughts and the minds of even unbelievers. That book does. He said, I took my life in my hand. Passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered him in my hand. Wherefore you not come up to me this day to fight against me? Why did you come to fight against me? And just they gave it all the men of Gilead, fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said the Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. Now watch this little story. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan. They say that there are only two or three of them, what they call passages of Jordan. In other words, there's only two or three places that you actually cross the Jordan River where it's not over your head, over the horses, where they swim. And they got one of these passages and the Jordan before the Ephraimites, and it was so that when the Ephraimites were escaped, said, let me go over. They said, let me go over one of you. The men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? And he said, nay. They said, we ain't supposed to let Ephraimites over. And they said, why not an Ephraimite? Look at this little test they gave him. Look at this little test. And they then said unto him, say now, Shibboleth. See that word? We're in chapter 12, verse 6. Everybody look at that. Say now, Shibboleth. And he said, Shibboleth. For he could not frame pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the pass of Jordan. And there fell at that time of Ephraimites 42,000. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? There's the password. You're all in the army, everything. They said, hop, who goes there? And have a password. If you can't say the password, you can't get in. That's where all that comes from. Right out of your Bible. Right out of your Bible. And that Shibboleth, that word Shibboleth, that means means like a sin. It means, I think the word itself, I wrote it down here. It come to mean a catchphrase or like a password. So these guys, they had a different accent, and he said, say Shibboleth. And they couldn't say Shibboleth. They said Shibboleth. Like somebody from another country says it comes here. A lot of people come here, they can't say thut. Did you know, like Americans, a lot of them say th, this and that. They say this and that. Like in the country, you hear them talking like that. And they weren't trained to say thut like me and you. Thut is a sort of funny way of talking away, but that's just by that. You know something? It's hard. It's hard to talk different from the way you was raised to talk. Anything that makes me mad and funny is some redneck person like us raised around in the country, go off to school 2 years and come back and talk like a Yankee. Isn't that? It just really irks me. Who in the world are you trying to be? And you can tell it's fake. You can tell it's fake. Now listen, you know why I talk like I talk? Because I was raised like this and I communicate good with people the way I talk. You can believe the letters, the emails we get. They don't brag on preaching, so I love his deep southern accent. They were going like this. I thought, well, did you hear the message? But I ain't fake. I talk like I talk because my mom and dad talk like that. And it's fast up. I could fix up a little if I tried, real, but that ain't me. And you wouldn't like that if I talk like that. Now, if a person naturally talks like that, that's fine. Hear me like that? Like that? L-I-K-A-T? Like that? If a person talks like that ain't good English, but you understand it, don't you? That's the point of talking. Understand? Now, they say, I don't have any. We say, I ain't got none. Same thing. We say, Jeet and Jew. We say, Jeet and Jew. You know, I don't add up north all the time. You don't say, Jeet and Jew. They say, what? Jeet and Jew. Means Jeet, no, Jew. They have no idea. They go to all that trouble and all the syllables. Did you eat? I said, just top it up on both ends, Jeet. And you know, if I saw them syllables, my 30-minute sermons would be 45 minutes. Sure would. But I just chop it off on both ends. I'm just kidding with you now. You should talk right. Speak correctly. You should teach kids. There's nothing wrong with speaking proper. There is something wrong with being fake. There's something wrong with being fake. Be who you are and be proud of it. Be from the country and being old poor people like me and you is nothing to be ashamed of, people. Don't you ever be ashamed of your heritage, where God allowed you to be born, who your family is, your church. Don't be ashamed of your Bible. I get sick and tired of this preacher getting ashamed of the Bible. They won't say, now you should come and follow Christ because you will experience eternal separation from God. They won't say, you're coming to save or dying to hell. They're ashamed of the Bible. Don't be ashamed of your Bible. Don't be ashamed of your church. Don't be ashamed of your family. Don't be ashamed of God give you a mama and a daddy. Amen? I think my daddy never had an education. My daddy can read and write. But I thank God he's my daddy and I'm proud of him. I tell you what he can do. He can outthink you in a heartbeat. I guarantee you, Moses. Son, I'm telling you, you had to get up early in the morning pulling on him. He was a smart businessman, but couldn't even read and write. And he had no education. My mom went to ninth grade. And she could read. She read books all the time. She's very intelligent. So, and I'm ashamed of that. I wish they'd have more. I want my kids to do better. I want my grandkids to do better. But this thing of, I remember I got a big argument with some, these kids used to come down to my house all the time. They come down up north to go to camp with us. And I just said, just mash a button right there. And they said, mash? You don't mash a button. And I didn't realize I said that. I said, well, I did say that. I said, what else? And they say, push the button. And I said, I mash a button. And they said, no, you push the button. And I said, you have pushed potatoes? That's what I told them. That popped in my head. And they said, I never thought about that. You have pushed potatoes with your food? When you see a cockroach, you push it? So, I don't know. I guess either one can be all right. The point is communication. That's the point. And if we were in this test here, and I said, are you North? And you'd say, no, I'm a Southerner. And I'd say this word, T-I-R-E, and say, tire. Two syllables. It's tire. One syllable. Tire has one syllable. Not tire. It's not tire. Tire. I can't even say it like they do. And they can't say it like I do. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? We could go all night and give examples of that. Now, honest to goodness, I know some people that's way more country than I am. But I'm just what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And everybody knows that. One thing I like about being a virtue is I can be me, but I can let God use me. Ain't fake. I talk the way I talk because that's the way I've always talked. And a preacher should do that. If you're from up north, you shouldn't try to sound southern. And if, listen to me, if you're from down here, you shouldn't try to sound Yankee so you can make people think you're educated. That's hypocrisy. There's no talking right. Don't matter. Right, as they say. Right, light, might, tight. No use in saying all that. Might, right, tight, right. One syllable. Might. Amen. A-M-A-N. Spell A-M-E-N. Pronounce A-M-A-N. I'm just messing with it. But anyway, these guys couldn't say Shibboleth. They said Sibboleth. And sometimes you get around somebody comes from another country, you really have a hard time saying words that we don't have no trouble saying. Have you ever talked to somebody that speaks another language and they say a word in the language and you just can't hardly do it? Like Dharma. When they start all this stuff, yuck, they sound like they got something on their throat. I don't see how they talk like that. But does anybody know any German in here? Any German word? You know German Murray. Come on, Brother Eric. You're worse than I am. Third Reich. Did I? Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I might have. That's what they say. Say Shibboleth. And they said, Shibboleth. They said, you're lying. Kill it. That's a password. But anyway, and Jephthah judged Israel 6 years and died Jephthah. You'll notice that some of these judges stand out more than others. Gideon, Jephthah, Ehud, Samson, as we get to, and others. And this guy had Ibzan right after him in verse 9, had 30 sons and 30 daughters. What a family, man. 30 sons and 30 daughters. Chanel, you thought you had it rough. 30 sons and 30 daughters. You got 25 more to go. Can you imagine Christmas? 30 sons and their wives, 30 daughters and their wives. That's 120. 30 daughters and their husbands. 30 sons and their wives. And kids, you got 300 people sitting like Aunt Tony at West Virginia. They have 200 in a family reunion. He judged Israel 7 years. He died, and after him, Elon came along, and he judged him. He died just like preachers. They come on and preach about 30, 40 years, and they die. Another one on 34 years, they die. Elon died in verse 12, he was buried. And after him, Abdon, some of these guys.